Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. As usual, we have much to cover today, including discussion of the sham indictment of President Trump, which is only too obviously part of a conspiracy to destroy his candidacy for president next year. The political left and its allies on the political right in this country, all of whom serve the interests of the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, are terrified of Trump. So worried are they that enough might be done to sufficiently thwart our rigged and stolen elections that he might win in 2024. They are therefore resorting to any means necessary to destroy Trump. And it may work. You have the George Soros-backed leftist Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, although George Soros just recently denies that he knows Bragg or gave any money toward him, but apparently gave $1 million to a PAC that gave a bunch of money to Bragg. But anyway, and most likely Bragg got a Democrat-dominated grand jury there in Manhattan to vote to indict Trump last week on rather dubious charges, as I understand it, based on the analysis, related to so-called hush money payments or a payment to porn star Stormy Daniels years ago. And allegedly, anti-Trump judge is already overseeing the case, and Trump will be tried in New York City, where a corrupt Democrat jury will likely convict the president. It's all enough to, or so the left hopes, ensnare and impede Trump to the point where he would be prevented from running for president, and even from being allowed to, even be allowed by this judge from speaking about the case, maybe even from campaigning, if they can get away with that, as a result of some kind of gag order. I think that would be strictly unconstitutional in this case, but all you need is the courts that back it up. Trump posted this today, I think, on his Truth Social website. Quote, "I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support you have given me against this assault on our nation. Our once beautiful USA is now a nation in decline. Radical left thugs and insurrectionists have taken over our country and are rapidly destroying it. They are using the levers of law enforcement and have completely weaponized the FBI and DOJ to interfere with, rig, and steal our once sacred elections. We are now living in a third world country, but we will come back and make America great again." End quote. How are we going to come back, Mr. President, with a corrupt establishment, with all their money from the Communist Chinese Party firmly in control? And a mountain of evidence firmly suggests elements of that same corrupt establishment, Democrats and Republicans in league with the CCP, continue to rig and steal our elections. Before we go further into discussing Donald Trump's legal troubles, let's look at the mass shooting at the Christian private school in Nashville, Tennessee last week. This incident, I believe, has a lot to do with the sad state of our nation, which is undergoing a Marxist revolution, of which the transgender movement is a major part. The idea being to create destruction and chaos in American society and bring it down, transforming it into a socialist hellhole that, incredibly, its proponents somehow believe will one day result in some kind of utopia. There in Nashville last week, a crazed 28-year-old biological female named Audrey Hale reportedly carefully planned out her crimes. Hale was transitioning to a male and used the name Aiden Hale. Besides being treated medically for this condition, he was also reportedly receiving medical treatment for mental illness. Most likely, Hale was being given large doses of male hormone, as well as powerful mind-altering psychotropic drug or drugs for her mental condition. She was said to have carefully scouted and surveilled locations she wanted to attack and chose the Christian private school she attacked in part because security was weaker there than the other locations. She had also been a student there. She left a manifesto statement about what she was doing before shooting her way through locked glass doors at the school, and armed with two high-powered rifles and a handgun, murdering three adults and three young students there. Authorities have not released the manifesto out of fear it might inspire copycat killers. The day after the Nashville murders, commentator Alice Jones discussed Hale and her actions on his radio and television show March 28 on Infowars.com. Here's audio excerpts from that show. Play some by one, please.
Infowars, tomorrow's news, today.
Society is collapsing around us. Every form of crime and degeneracy is exploding off the charts, not just in the United States, worldwide. We are a fallen civilization, and it's only going to get worse. Yesterday, as the mass shooting unfolded in Tennessee at a school where darling little children and others were killed, I did not comment on the broadcast other than saying that the shooting had happened because I wanted to give it time to see what unfolded. But Scott, the producer, walked in right when it happened, and he said, "How much money you want to bet this is a transgender person?" And that's because now about 80% of the time, the school shooters are transgender, and the media tries to cover it up. But we've got a bunch of the examples here of this happening, and they already take quasi-autistic people or mentally ill people, and they hop them up on a bunch of wild hormones, and then they wonder why they have the highest rates of suicide, one of the highest rates of crime out there. I don't hate transgender people. There are a lot of people that are transgender that are really nice, like Blair White, who's a very sweet, smart, good person, and I think she, you know, believes she's a woman and acts like a woman, and you know, if she wants to be a woman, she can be a woman. She doesn't want to go compete with women in sports, any of that stuff. But crazed men beating women in sports and women all hopped up on men's hormones now committing mass shootings. I mean, women never commit mass shootings. In fact, it's never been heard of. And now it's happening. And these people are incredibly lost, and it's really a demonic spirit where they feel led to go kill innocent little children. And that's what happened yesterday. And it's just hard to believe this stuff actually happens. That's why I've doubted some of these things before. It's just hard to believe people do it. But you know what? They really do it, ladies and gentlemen. And our hearts and prayers go out to the parents and so many others. I've got four children, one of them 5 and a half. And I just could not imagine what type of twisted, sick brain would want to go and kill little elementary school students. But you notice it's men with guns taking out the crazed woman with the gun. And that's why we have guns, to protect ourselves. And I tell you, when I go to family school events and things and visit, you know, schools where family have children doing performing arts, I don't feel bad when I see police there armed. I feel good. They've never had a concealed carry holder go out and do anything like this. Concealed carry holders have the lowest crime rate of any group in the U.S., just like the police. And these police did a great job while they're being fired at. They didn't play games. They went in there and they killed her while she was shooting at them. So that's what police are supposed to do right there. Not like Uvalde, where they sat there for 76 minutes putting hand sanitizer on in the hallways. People thought Uvalde didn't happen. No, Uvalde happened, folks. But people find it hard to believe that police would stand down for 76 minutes. That's even more unbelievable than them staging it. I mean, it's just the incompetence and the bureaucracy of some of these police departments. It's like with the Tower shooter back in the 60s. Cops didn't wait. They charged up those stairs and they killed that guy while he shot at him. So the answer is guns in school, especially Christian schools are targets. Tucker Carlson predicted it on last Friday's show, or was it Thursday's show, where he said the transgenders are arming up and are probably going to start mass shooting people. And now they're announcing an International Day of Rage on April 1st, where they're promising to have a violent uprising. And the left, by the way, has been defending the attacker. transgenderism is a Tavistock Institute, MI6, CIA creation to launch the transhumanist movement. Because if you'll accept a man being a woman being a man, if you'll accept two men having a baby when it's two women or a man and a woman, if you will accept that, you'll accept chimeric humanoids that are made out of three or four dads or two or three moms or a mix of other people, which they're now producing and making for decades in test tubes. You'll accept the entire globalist agenda. I do not hate people that are trans. I do not think that the average person that is living like that is a mass shooter or a bad person. That said, the entire movement is a synthetic creation for depopulation and to totally confuse society and break up the family, and that's admitted. And the same leftist movement worldwide funded by the big corporations that force feed this are openly saying now they want to euthanize children without parental consent. So it's all about killing people. And if you can't sell killing babies out of the womb, well, you just call it a transgender surgery and cut their breast and their genitals off. And then you get people caught up in this cult, caught up in this is your identity. This is why you're confused. Take these hormones, do this. And then statistically, they are the most unhappy, suicide-prone people everywhere, anywhere. And we're told it's because you're not celebrating them. You're not accepting them. Why they went on this wonderful path at the public school or the system put them on, in some cases when they were 2 years old. Now the trans cult says they know when a child's born at birth that they're trans. Well, it's not the fault of the system creating this nightmare. No, no, it's your fault for not worshiping it and rolling out a red carpet to it. So let's be clear, where I don't blame the average transgender person or say they're a bad person or judge them, the big think tanks, the intelligence agencies, the transhumanist, Julian Huxley combine is the group running this. Their fingerprints are all over it. They're the authors of it. They admit they run the whole thing. And it's the leading edge of the wedge to bring in transhumanists, humanoid, cyborg future that we're being told is the future and that the future isn't human by all the high priests of the globalist system. Now, that said, we're going to drill into what happened in Tennessee yesterday and the announcements all over Instagram, all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over everywhere of saying, well, this is what you deserve. I've got the articles and printouts right here because you were mean to the transgenders and Tennessee's passing a law saying you can't sterilize little children.
I believe the Transgender Day of Rage, which was going to be held on the steps of the Supreme Court in Washington, if I understood. It's not true that there have been no female mass shooters before the transgender movement gained huge encouragement and support by Joe Biden and the current American Marxist revolutionaries. I know because being a Second Amendment supporter, I've been following for years the media's reporting on these mass shootings, and there have been some women, but Jones is essentially right in that before there were more of these transgender women hopped up on male hormones and psychotropic drugs, females being involved in school and other mass shootings were rare. I also don't agree that today most mass shootings are now transgender people, although of late that seems to have been the case, although and as I say, they are on the rise. Jones is right about that. And it may be correct that nearly 80% of the recent mass shootings have been by transgender people or people involved in that, favoring that. A recent article on theepochtimes.com stated that some 97% of mass shooters are on or were recently on powerful mind-altering psychotropic drugs for depression, anxiety, or other mental illnesses, if I recall correctly what I'd read. As you'll hear Fox's Tucker Carlson state, our authorities are not recognizing and appropriately responding to this problem. And here we're talking about these school and related mass shootings, excluding gang-related mass shootings, which make up, I understand, the bulk of mass shootings nowadays. You know, the drive-bys. also keep in mind that despite claims to the contrary, mass shootings happen all over the world. One of the worst, if not the worst of these, if you want to just talk about body counts, occurred in, I believe, in 1982 in South Korea, where, if I can recall correctly, I was trying to find the article, it was reported by an American news service that a man named Woo Bong Kong, he was described as a sergeant. I didn't say whether he was military or police, but he had supposedly killed or wounded more than 200 people in what was described as a drunken rampage with rifles and grenades. It's not surprising to see our mainstream Marxist media types ignore the inconvenient fact about the connection between people committing these shootings and taking powerful mind-altering drugs. A large part of these media organizations' revenue comes from advertising for prescription drugs from big pharmaceutical companies. You know, the ones that are making hundreds of billions of dollars, supposedly, off these vaccines for COVID-19. And Big Pharma makes many billions of dollars in profits annually from the sale of all these different drugs that they make and sell. I read years ago that more than 40 million people in the U.S. alone are taking psychotropic drugs. This is not to say that many of these people are not being helped by these drugs, but the connection between people taking them and committing violence or taking their own lives is something that should be seriously looked at and is not. And despite the ensuing hysterical calls for yet more gun control laws to infringe on the rights of law-abiding in response to the Nashville tragedy, there are, I believe, some laws which could be passed to help prevent these monstrous occurrences. I would, for example, support requiring anyone being treated for mental illness being barred from owning, purchasing, or in any way having access to firearms or other weapons. The other side of the coin here is that we need to harden, in terms of security, all our schools, public and private, including employing mentally screened, trained, and dedicated armed security to deter these insane predators. Here's a brief audio capture from a recent Tucker Carlson Tonight Show broadcast on the shooting in Nashville, which was rebroadcast on Twitter. Please play soundbite 2.
It seems, for example, like an awful lot of mass shooters have taken prescription psychiatric drugs in the days before they opened fire and killed others. Have you noticed that? Maybe you have noticed that. Good luck saying it in public. You'll be shouted down immediately by someone with an advanced degree. How dare you criticize Big Pharma? What are you, a conspiracy nut? No, actually you're not. You're someone who cares about cause and effect. You're a rational person. The only conspiracy here is the one designed to prevent you from figuring out why mass shootings keep happening.
Here's audio from the Liz Wheeler Show on YouTube discussing the mainstream media's reaction to the Nashville shootings. Play soundbite 3, please.
Even the Daily Mail is portraying this shooter as the victim, which means that the Daily Mail is propagating queer theory, which is trying to tell transgender people that they are so victimized that this is essentially justified. The Daily Mail tweeted, I'm going to bring this tweet up and read it exactly. This is the Daily Mail tweet. Exclusive: Nashville mass school shooter was rejected by her Christian parents. So first of all, this is not even true. She lived with her parents. Her parents did not allow her to dress as a man in their home, but she was 28 years old and her parents still allowed her to live in their home. That's not being rejected by your parents. That's actually what parents are supposed to do. Parents are supposed to guide their children towards reality. Second of all, even if this were the case, even if her parents had kicked her out, even if she didn't live with her parents and her parents had said, we don't want any more contact with you, this is not the fault of the parents. This is the fault of queer theory indoctrinating this woman into thinking, not only thinking that she's a man, but thinking that she is systemically oppressed by people like her parents, Christian people like her parents. I'm actually shocked that the Daily Mail, of all places, bought into this. The Daily Mail is supposed to be a little bit more reasonable, but this is what they wrote. They said, 20 years later, 20 years after she had attended this school where she committed this massacre, 20 years later, after being rejected by her Christian family, when she came out to them as gay, Hale had turned into a killer. Yesterday, she murdered 3 innocent children and 3 staff members at the very school where her photo was taken as a child. It's unclear, the Daily Mail writes, why she targeted that facility. Police also say she planned to attack a mall and family members, but she was shot dead at Covenant before she could murder anyone anymore. There is still little known about how Hale transformed from the sweet girl described by neighbors to a murderous shooter with two rifles and a handgun who penned a killing manifesto and even drew a cartoon about how she planned to attack. Police say she was being treated for an emotional disorder and that her parents believed she no longer had any weapons. What is the Daily Mail talking about? We don't know the motive. Of course we know the motive. Of course we know the motive. It's unclear why she targeted the facility. It's very clear why she targeted the facility. She targeted the facility because they're Christian, and she's been told that Christians are trying to eradicate her. It's not true, but she believed it because that's what she's been told by radical leftist neo-Marxists who embrace queer theory. It's unclear how she transformed from a sweet little girl into a killer. It's very clear how and why she transformed from a sweet little girl into a killer. She was first groomed by queer theory. Then the medical community gave her testosterone if her pictures are any evidence, which causes agitation, suicidal ideation, self-harm, and clearly can cause horrible violence because women are not supposed to take testosterone at these levels.
And here's some of Emerald Robinson's comments on the Nashville shooter on her The Absolute Truth show, March 29 on frankspeech.com. Play soundbite 4, please.
A left-wing extremist targeted a Christian school this week in Nashville, Tennessee. The 28-year-old shooter picked the school because she was once a student there. Audrey Hale shot her way into the school on Monday, as seen in this video. Moments after entering the building and beginning her shooting rampage, police arrived on the scene. Upon their arrival, the shooter began shooting down at them. They didn't stop these brave group of men from entering the building. And we have the body cam footage to prove their actions were heroic. Even though it only took officers 4 minutes to locate the shooter and eliminate the threat, they were still too late. The transgender shooter took the lives of 3 children and 3 adults. Make no mistake, these 6 innocent lives were taken because they were Christian. This is a quintessential hate crime. But corporate media outlets are working overtime to bury those facts. Axios, CNN, NPR, and more refuse to tell their audience what the shooter's political beliefs were. They even refuse to use the wrong pronouns when referring to this mentally ill domestic terrorist. But it's not just the liberal media that's doing this. The New York Post wants its audience to sympathize for this domestic terrorist because her parents couldn't accept their daughter's trans identity. Sadly, the media isn't alone. The White House, who's always quick to jump on the hate crime scene, wants to offer its public relations services to the Nashville shooter as well. That's why just hours after the shooting, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stepped in front of the cameras to blame Republicans for this mentally ill person's actions.
For me, the Nashville tragedy, and I can't imagine what it must be like to lose your innocent 9-year-old daughter to some murderous monster, is yet another example of Joe Biden's America today. Joe Biden and those he serves among America's elites, aligned with the CCP and American communist left. It's an America with all the crazy and chaotic communist revolutionary garbage playing out, with the aim, as I stated, of being the ultimate destruction, bringing about the ultimate destruction of America as we have known it, and its transmogrification into a socialist hellhole. And this socialist utopia will be one that inevitably leads to the imprisonment and murder of many of these idiotic people who support it, but are too stupid to realize they're bringing about their own destruction. I say this because invariably, in all nations taken over by communists, many of their supporters inevitably wind up murdered and imprisoned by those in power. All this is happening because of our rigged and stolen elections in recent years, and horrifically, the large-scale failure of our judiciary to intervene to stop this criminal madness. Trump supporters like me have been sickened to see so many of our judges and justices refuse to even look at the massive evidence of election and vote fraud. This extends right up to our nation's Supreme Court, where the three Trump-nominated justices sided with the apparently compromised Chief Justice Roberts and the court's leftists in refusing to consider the case brought by 18 states challenging the validity of the 2020 election, thus enabling Joe Biden to take office and the Marxist revolution he and his supporters wanted to proceed. Now, it wasn't everybody in the court. I understand that Justices Alito and Thomas definitely wanted to hear the case, but the others overruled them. Why did they do this? Why would they do this? Why would they turn their backs on their oath of office, the Constitution, and the American people? However extorted, bribed, intimidated, or ideologically sympathetic these jurists across our nation are, don't they realize that they're promoting the end of our country, an end that will take many of them with it? And as I said, if it's so such a free and fair election, as I've said before, I mean, what's the harm in looking into the allegations? Just look at the madness going on in Arizona today, where last November, Trump-backed gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake and all the other MAGA or Make America Great Again candidates for state offices lost to radical left-wing people. Lake, by the way, vowed to take on the Mexican drug and human trafficking cartels. It's these cartels which he says control Arizona. And it's these cartels which manufacture the deadly opioid fentanyl, whose ingredients come from China, and smuggle it across our border. Do you suppose this has anything to do with why Beijing Biden, as a presidential candidate, called for a surge at an opening up of our southern border? Despite all the evidence of fraud in the Arizona election, for example, 300,000 ballots with no chain of custody, more than 100,000 ballots accepted and counted in spite of many of them being initially rejected over lack of signature verification, thousands upon thousands of ballots rejected by tabulation machines because they were printed on wrong-sized paper. The state's corrupt courts have refused to consider Lake's evidence contesting the validity of the election. Finally, upon appeal to the Arizona Supreme Court, there's been much ballyhoo over a victory handed to Lake. The court remanded to the original trial court for reconsideration Lake's claim about the improper signature verifications. She has stated that two whistleblowers came forward and told her team that many of these ballots had been rejected for lack of signature verification, and yet someone overruled them above them and they were counted. As one Twitter user commented, quote, specifically, six of the seven claims were dismissed out of hand. He's talking about the Supreme Court in Arizona in Carrie Lake's case. The remaining claim requires a substantial burden of proof to move past trial court, and sanctions against Lake are possible. Here is Carrie Lake discussing her victory with the Arizona Supreme Court on Steve Bannon's War Room program on Real America's Voice Network. Play sound about five, please.
Carrie Lake, tell us about this monumental ruling in the Supreme Court of Arizona. What does it mean?
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Steve. This is a massive victory. I mean, we stated that they made a mistake in the lower court, and guess what? The Supreme Court agrees. And since the beginning of this process, it's that signature verification that we felt was the smoking gun. And that's why we were so disappointed when that lower court judge refused to let our evidence be heard. And so that's why it's a big deal for us with this win. You know, the Arizona Supreme Court, the highest court in the state, has given us a forum now to expose this absolute sham of a process that Maricopa County has been running. And that's truly what signature verification has become here, a sham. Mail-in balloting is the biggest and most dominant form of voting in Arizona. And security verification with those signatures, signature verification is the only security measure that we have in place to make sure that nobody is taking advantage of the system. And with those, without those measures, we know because of our whistleblowers, people can just scribble a scribble on a random ballot and have it counted as a legal vote. And it has been happening for years. This is not a new phenomenon. But what they did in 2022 to screw over me and Abe and the MAGA movement and the people of Arizona was particularly egregious. And they screwed over Democrats, independents, and Republicans because we were drawing in all of those type of voters. Three of our whistleblowers.
Carrie, you knew you were onto something because they freaked out when this even came up. And in fact, aren't they trying to press criminal charges against you for even bringing up this topic? The Maricopa County people freak out when Carrie Lake brings up signature verification to the fact of trying to press criminal charges. Why is that, ma'am?
That's right. I mean, well, because the fraud who's sitting in the Secretary of State's office, who is a cartel attorney. Yes, you heard that right. He's an attorney for the Mexican drug cartels, is sitting in our Secretary of State's office. And because our account, our Twitter account, posted something from a Senate hearing, a public hearing showing how bad these signatures are. If people saw how bad these signatures are, their heads would explode. These people are approving signatures that don't even come close to matching. It'd be like having your signature and then watching a child with a crayon fill it in and then trying to compare them. They don't even match. Many signatures weren't even present on the envelope and they were counted. It's an important part of the process. These whistleblowers came to our team. They raised the alarm and they said that they were rejecting these signatures because they were so bad. And then sending these ballots up the food chain. But as soon as they were sending them up the food chain, guess what? Somebody up there was simply pushing them through, approving them. And this is a staggering amount of ballots, a staggering amount of fraud, and well over the margin of victory, by the way. And we're going to be able to bring this to the court.
Now it's being reported, incredibly, that Maricopa County elections official Stephen Richer is outright refusing to let Lake's team examine these signature-challenged ballots, reportedly claiming that it's for the people's own good, or something to that effect. These people appear to be able to do anything they want and know they can get away with it. Where's the Arizona State Legislature in all this? Why aren't they, under their powers granted by to run elections under the U.S. Constitution, taking over Maricopa County's elections operations and allowing the court-ordered examination of these ballots? This is just beyond me. Of course, they do have the entire state government apparatus primarily almost under their control. I guess these people that are supposedly involved with the political left and everything. But finally today, here's audio from conservative commentator Mark Levin on his views about last week's indictment by a Manhattan grand jury of President Trump. As I've related before, besides being a renowned attorney and best-selling author, Mark Levin was chief of staff to then U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese during the Reagan administration. About the same time as our show is being broadcast today, Levin will be providing his views on the Trump indictment on his Life, Liberty, and Levin TV show on Fox this evening. This sound file was taken from the Mark Levin radio show March 31. It starts off with Levin relating that he was leaving an interview with President Trump at his Florida Mar-a-Lago golf club and resort residence when, as he was driving away, a friend informed him of the Trump indictment. During the audio, Levin also relates that he later returned to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with Trump and witnessed all the support for Trump there after the announcement of the indictment. Play soundbite 6, please.
And so as I'm driving, I get a call from a friend. He tells me, I just heard, and not on the radio, from the president's lawyer in a text that he's been indicted. And I have to tell you, I got sick to my stomach right there. It was a blow to the gut. I'd just been with the man. Was in a fantastic mood. Did a fantastic interview, which you will see in the next few weekends. Not this Sunday. I'll explain what I'm doing this Sunday. And I contacted the folks in Mar-a-Lago about a half hour later. I said, you still want me to show up at 7 p.m.? They said, absolutely. The president wants to see you. Eventually, I circled back, went back to Mar-a-Lago. He's got fantastic supporters who started to gather with flags. And I went in and sat down in an anteroom next to where the main dinner was going to be with a friend, and people were applauding, so that was obvious the president had entered. It was the president and the former first lady, Melania. And I was invited to sit at the table. There must have been 300, 400 people there. This was an event that had been planned a long time ago. It wasn't a party for him or anything like that. It's for the members of the club. The members of the club are serious people from all kinds of industries, professions, backgrounds, people of significant success. In the meantime, I was being asked to go on virtually every show that Fox had, and I called my buddy Hannity, who had contacted me, and we couldn't get a truck out there, so I said I'll do the interview by telephone. So I left there around 9, and on the way home, I did the interview from the car on my cell phone. That interview was posted on Mark Levin's show, Twitter, Getter, Parler, and True Social, and all over the world, I guess, if you care to hear it. And, of course, our dear friend Ben, who was filling in, Ben Ferguson, who does a great job, great constitutional conservative. I called into our program, this program, and immediately at the top of the hour, spent about 20 minutes discussing with you all what I thought about this. That's the long and the short of it. Now, this Sunday, on Life, Liberty, and Levin, it'll be one of those occasions, which is fairly unique, if not rare, where I do the entire hour by myself. I didn't need any guests. I know what I have to say about this. And it's not just the law, it's bigger than the law. The law has been destroyed. It's no longer about the elements of the law and the level of proof. It's about more than that. It's about tyranny. It's about a totalitarian Democrat Party that wants to win at all costs, punish its opponents, shut down speech, monitor the citizens, and other police state tactics. Count me among those who does not believe to this day that there's any way Joe Biden got 80 million votes legitimately. I don't believe it, I'll never believe it, and I'll go to my grave never believing it. Massive, massive turnouts for Joe Biden, I never saw it. And now the use of the criminal justice system by the Democrat Party and this administration to go after families, parents, to go after people who believe in life, to go after thousands of people who attended the January 6th protest but were not violent in any way. There weren't 2,000 people who broke into the Capitol violently and attacked police. They're trying to pick up anybody they see on any video that anybody shows them or tells them about. I'm just sick and tired of it. I've had enough of it. The reason they're going after Donald Trump is the reason why they've tried to destroy the Supreme Court and pack it with ideologues, as Stalin would do. It's the reason why they want to pack the United States Senate with 4 more Democrat senators, as Stalin would do. It's the reason why the Attorney General of the United States uses the power of the law to shut down opposition, to squelch speech, to intimidate and threaten people, as Stalin would do. It's a reason why the border's open to change the nature of the citizenry in this country. People coming in that have no attachment whatsoever to the Constitution, to the Declaration, or American history, as Stalin would do. The centralization of the economy, the degrowth movement, the destruction of energy independence for climate change, which is a front for economic socialism, to create want, to create poverty, to create need, to create inflation, to create debt, to create shortages and supply line problems, as Stalin would do. But this is different. This is, as I say, crossing the Rubicon. If you do not have a just law and attempts to equally apply it, you don't have a free country. It's that simple. The Constitution doesn't matter. Statutes don't matter. Nothing matters. Now you're dealing with brute force. And that's what the Democrat Party is about, brute force. You can hear them. You can watch them. You can see their entertainment clowns on late night. You can see their racists and their anti-Semites and their tyrants and their totalitarians on MSNBC and CNN, on the pages of the New York Times and the Washington Post, on NBC, ABC, and CBS. They're all there. You can see how they've destroyed the media. So now we have an American Pravda that supports whatever the Democrats do and however they do it, and attack dogs against the Republicans particular conservatives, and especially Donald Trump and his supporters. The Democrat Party is not happy enough with controlling virtually all the instrumentalities of the culture and the government. Now it wants to select who the Republican nominee for president will be. Who do you think the Democrat Party wants? Chris Christie? Asa Hutchinson? Chris Sununu? It's about right. The good old days of the Ford Bush presidency, because they can roll these people and they know these people will respond to their surrogates in the media and buckle on bended knee. Once in a generation, or maybe once in several generations, somebody or a couple people come along who are truly unique. Individuals who are presented to us, but they're presented to us to help us, to help save the country and the republic, our constitution and our liberties. When the elitists and the mob get together to smother us. Donald Trump is a unique figure, and he will be a unique figure in history. Not for the reasons the media and the phony historians would say, for the opposite reasons. He came along at exactly the right time to blunt what Obama had done to this country, to prevent an Obama third term through Hillary Clinton, a man who loves his country. He's a conservative by common sense, not ideology. Securing the border, building up the military, a sound dollar, constitutionalists on the court, deregulation, tax cuts to grow the economy. He confronted the communist Chinese, fascistic Russians, the Islamo-Nazis in Iran. He wasn't cut and run, wasn't an isolationist or a pacifist. He used common sense. He outmaneuvered the enemy. They didn't know what to make of him. And every step of the way, the totalitarian Democrats, the Pravda media, and the backstabbing Republicans tried to cripple him. Two pathetic impeachments, a criminal investigation. Now they have 4 or 5 grand juries. Washington wants nothing to do with them. They want to put them in prison. They want to send a message.
Levin's right. They're sending a message. Who do you think you are trying to put Donald Trump back in office and messing with the establishment's money from the CCP? They and the CCP will decide who is president. You don't have rights anymore. You better believe that good old Joe is wildly popular with the American electorate and got more than 80 million votes in 2020. You better believe that it was the most free and fair election in history. But you can't see anything at all about these wonderful electronic voting machines, this voting equipment, hardware and software used to run our elections. Because it's proprietary. You're just a bunch of stupid peons and have no business looking into all the evidence of massive and well-organized vote and election fraud out there. Why our courts, why our courts, right up to our nation's Supreme Court, have by and large refused to even consider all the evidence. How dare you suspect otherwise than what you've been told? Putting aside all the evidence of paper ballot voting fraud from the 2020 election and after, let's take a quick look at the evidence of cyber attacks on electronic voting equipment used around the country. Election integrity activist Mike Lindell and his team have long claimed that there were cyber attacks waged across the country, overwhelmingly coming from China in the 2020 election, resulting in millions of votes cast for Donald Trump being flipped to Joe Biden. The problem is, no court has been willing to consider the evidence Lindell offers for this. As far as I know, anyway. Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnerney has been claiming that CCP operatives have been utilizing a powerful CIA-developed supercomputer called the Hammer, with an election interference program used with it called Scorecard, to commit these cyber attacks. And we've talked about this numerous times on previous shows. McKinnerney claimed that these cyber attacks continued in the 2022 midterm elections, where the attackers concentrated on helping U.S. Senate candidates. And, for example, according to McKinnerney, some 320,000 votes cast for Trump-backed Pennsylvania U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz were flipped to radical leftist Democrat opponent John Fetterman, who then won the U.S. Senate seat from Pennsylvania. The establishment judge overseeing defamation lawsuits against Mike Lindell by electronic voting equipment companies Dominion and Smartmatic, because of his allegations their equipment widely used in U.S. elections is vulnerable and was hacked, has ruled their lawsuit against Lindell has merit and may proceed. It's my understanding anyway. But the judge dismissed as frivolous Lindell's countersuit against the voting equipment companies. Lindell's suit claimed these companies are using what's called lawfare to intimidate and silence Lindell and other election critics. By the way, I agree with constitutional law authority Alan Dershowitz, if I understand his comments correctly, that entities which participate in the operation of U.S. elections become part of the government and therefore are not immune from being criticized or inspected. But apparently much of our illustrious establishment judiciary disagrees. Meanwhile, after it was revealed that computer experts around the country have expressed serious and significant concerns about vulnerabilities to cyber attacks on electronic voting machines and software, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, finally came out with a report detailing what it said are 9 major security vulnerabilities in this electronic voting equipment. CISA said in its report that it hadn't seen any hacking of the equipment. But as Lindell attorney Kurt Olson has observed, CISA hasn't looked for any hacking. Another election integrity activist, Patrick Byrne, stated that he examined the CISA report and found that what CISA said are vulnerabilities in this equipment are actually failures for which there are no known fixes. And even one of the voting equipment company's former executives admitted, according to a related lawsuit discovery, that the firm's equipment was, quote, riddled with bugs, unquote. Getting back to Mike Lindell's dismissed countersuit against the voting equipment companies, here are some of the claims made in that suit. This is from Lindell versus Dominion lawsuit. Actually, it also includes Dominion Voting Systems Corporation, Smartmatic USA Corporation, Smartmatic International Holding BV, and SGO Corporation Limited. This is the parent corporation of Smartmatic, I believe. This was filed in U.S. District Court in Minnesota, I believe it was on June 2021. Line 52 of the claim state, quote, in 2018, Dominion was acquired by a private equity firm, Staple Street Capital, whose largest shareholder, David Mark Rubenstein, is a co-founder of the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is a global investment firm with longstanding and enormous investments in China. In 2020, mere months before the election, Staple Street Capital, owner of Dominion, received a $400 million investment from UBS Securities LLC. UBS Securities LLC owns 24.99% of UBS Securities Company Limited, a Chinese investment bank. The remaining 75% of UBS Securities Company Limited is owned by the Chinese government or various arms of it. At the same time of the November 2020 election, the two UBS Securities affiliates shared 3 common directors. One, Yi Zhang, board chairman of UBS Beijing until its resignation in December 2020, also secretary of People's Bank of China and ex-director of Bank of China International. Two, Mu Lina, director of fund management and head of fund operations for UBS Beijing. And three, Luo Qiang. Nor do the connections between Dominion, Smartmatic, and China end with the $400 million investment in Dominion's parent. 5 years earlier, beginning in 2015, Smartmatic began using the Chinese company Shenzhen Zhongzhen Nanfang Testing Company Limited to conduct in-depth testing, studies, and certifications of the voting machine hardware and software. This relationship continued until at least 2020, just prior to the election. In that role, the Chinese company had complete access to all facets of Smartmatic's devices and software, which shared the same DNA as the Dominion systems, going back to the Diebold Premier Sequoia acquisition. So they're talking here about these, you know, different companies acquiring the voting machine companies, software, hardware. Getting back to them, quote, we're still in or around September 2019, Dominion pledged as many as 18 of its patents as collateral with Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC, a large Chinese bank. In other words, by the time of the 2020 election, Chinese government-related entities, Chinese technology companies, and powerful Chinese financial interests had direct or indirect ownership of and near total access to Dominion's and Smartmatic's voting machine technology. Small wonder that by then, congressional leaders had serious concerns regarding the spread and effect of private equity investment in many sections of the economy, including the election technology industry. End quote. And as has been said, all of these machines that were used and these software is very similar. Sure seems to be a lot of evidence supporting allegations that Communist Chinese Party operatives, likely with the aid of as yet unidentified elements of our intelligence community, have been waging massive cyber attacks and vote manipulation of electronic voting equipment in U.S. elections, in recent U.S. elections. What do you think? That's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found its content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted soon on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again with another live show broadcast 2 weeks from today in this same time slot. Have a great rest of your day and evening.